The Truth News Network. One of the White Hats in Mortal Kombat against the Deep State, Dan Newman, TNN.
The Truth News Network.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Truth News Network. How's your day going? How's your week going? I hope it's going well. And yeah, we're in a fight of sorts, but don't fret. We're in this war together. And that kind of segues right into today's story. A Democrat 2020 win equals Armageddon. Well, that's kind of rash, some will say. Well, this is not a scare everybody story. This is a wake-up story today. There are many American fundamentals on the line in the upcoming 2020 election. I don't need to tell you that. You know that for a fact, for yourself. I'm sad to say very few Americans know what's at stake, though. What is at stake? The very structure of the United States of America. First, let's look at those structural elements of the U.S. that are already under fire today and have been. Then we'll discuss what those changes, if implemented, would do to usher in Armageddon. Now, I know you've heard Armageddon, the word referring to a battle of war, over and over and over again. Armageddon is actually defined as the site or time of a final and conclusive battle between the forces of good and evil. Mine is a pretty dire prediction. You know, a 2020 Democrat win would mean Armageddon. While I believe there really will be a spiritual Armageddon initiated by God against Satan to end life as we know it someday, I believe the United States is facing one today, right now, in 2020. Yes, life as we know it in the United States. How soon we could see it is yet to be determined. Who will initiate it? Political zealots who are bent on destruction of the historical America that has brought us to where we are today. Who are these zealots? Political far leftists that comprise, in part, today's Democrat Party. I know, this is extreme, but it's real, folks. And it takes two to tango. No doubt the war in which we're living is full of participants, many of whom who do not pledge allegiance to the Democrat Party donkey or the Republican elephant. There are many options, many different participants, but there are very specific indicators who point to crazed Democrat zealots who are incensed that they don't have leadership in America and they all feel like they should have. They should have reclaimed the mantle in the 2016 election. And yes, it stems primarily from the circumstances in that election that put Donald Trump in the White House instead of Hillary Clinton. When John McCain lost his bid for president in 2008, there certainly were tens of millions of American voters who thought that he was a certain winner before that day. The same held true in 2012 when Mitt Romney couldn't eliminate a second Obama 4 years in the White House. But in neither election aftermath did Obama opponents take to the streets in anger and actual hatred for the election winner. With the Trump victory, however, it was completely different. Left-leaning zealots immediately began demonstrations that included physical threats for the president and his family. Remember, singer star Madonna, even at a rally, cried she was even thinking about blowing up the White House. Actor Johnny Depp commented in a public gathering that it's been a long time since a presidential assassination. He quipped, "It may be time for that today." Those may seem quite benign, you know, just blowing off steam and sadness for seeing their favorite candidate handed a surprising election loss. But that's just the tip of the iceberg. Beneath those antagonistic rallies across the nation lies extreme disdain, not just for Donald Trump, but even for those who voted for him. Something as simple as that. Now, we're talking about 61, 62 million Americans. Frequently, we hear politicians damning Trump supporters themselves. And it's not just that he was elected, but the demonization of 100% of the support for any of the policies that Donald Trump has implemented. Mr. Trump picked up the cause of pro-life, Second Amendment rights, stopping illegal immigration, and canceling hundreds of federal government regulations to stimulate business growth. He pulled the U.S. out of the Iran agreement and the Paris Climate Accords, which drove the left crazy. And they're not upset or angry about any of this. They're crazed for his doing so. I must say, in my 66 years, I've not seen the vitriol, the hatred, and threatening atmosphere in the nation but one other time. And that was during the Vietnam War. I was young then, but I remember the horrors that went on around the country. But on many fronts, today's potential war landscape is closer to complete than ever before. Much closer than ever during the Vietnam period. Let's face facts. In most areas of life in America today, things are better. Better than they were in 2016. Specifically, the American economy in every sector has zoomed to previously unanticipated and, in some cases, unheard of levels. And all of those speak directly to the lives of all Americans, not the rich, not just the poor, not the middle class, but from top to bottom. No, the economy is not the only important thing in the lives of Americans. I know that. But those finding jobs they couldn't in 2016, those getting pay increases that they hadn't seen for a while, profits soaring that turn into new jobs, job bonuses, corporate expansion, which all lead to a critically important element for us all, happiness and hope. What's that old saying when it comes election time? Are you better off than you were 4 years ago? That's a question right now that all Americans, if they're honest, when asked that question, would have to say, yes, I'm better off. Well, there's a lot of fuel laying out there on the political landscape that go into what's going on around us in a pending Armageddon. But probably the biggest and the most contentious right now is that of illegal immigration. Somewhere, the immigration debate has gotten far off course. After the last Democrats' presidential debates, every Democrat candidate appears ready to admit illegal entrants without historic restrictions, harbor those illegals in sanctuary cities, pay their health care with tax dollars, federal and state combined, permit displacement of lower-income Americans from affordable housing, and tolerate growing homelessness created by unmitigated mass economic migration. None of this fits American history. None of it fits the rule of law or sovereignty. And a large segment of Americans feel this is a definite affront to the U.S. Constitution and the rule of law, while other Americans seem to not even care. Remember, many historical wars are initiated by controversial laws with which a country's populace differ on their enforcement, like our immigration laws. First, candidates and mainstream media consciously omit, diminish, or ignore a basic distinction in U.S. law between legal immigration, which is permitted at different levels based on country of origin and individual, and patently illegal immigration. The distinction is important, yet it's purposely being blurred. This fundamental distinction, about which no one wants to speak, is key to resolving the larger debate, and we won't get it resolved. And I mean resolve, where there's agreement on both sides, until it is confronted. From enforcement of U.S. visa laws to naturalization and citizenship, if the distinction between legal and illegal is not acknowledged and enforced as written, then for all intents and purposes, U.S. immigration laws don't exist, period. It has to be based on laws. If you don't like the current laws, who makes them? Congress. And a president signs them into law. Congress, go back to the drawing board if you don't like the existing laws and change them. President Trump has said again and again and again, if the House and Senate bring him a bill, he's going to sign it into law. Do your job. Actually, then, the Democrat presidential candidates, beyond pushing mass government control, higher taxes, socialized medicine, federally defined and paid higher education, and shutting down fossil fuel production, are promoting lawlessness in the area of immigration. They're selling it as acceptable. Break the law. It's okay. Now, let's drill down a little bit. Let's be specific. Today in the U.S., we have laws permitting presence in the U.S. under differing circumstances. We have laws that distinguish between legal and illegal presence, between employer-sponsored visas. You may have heard the H-1B visa being mentioned. That's because of employer-sponsored individuals. Independent work visas called EB-1s, investor visas, EB-5s, PhD visas, EB-2, presence by birth to foreign parents, presence by green card lottery, and upon legal residence for 5 years, application for citizenship. These are laws, folks, passed by Congress, signed by a president into law, and that means they're laws that are meant to be enforced. By opening the floodgates at our southern border to lawless entry, Democrats not only render meaningless our asylum laws in total, requiring proof of a specific objective, well-founded fear of persecution to the individual by the country of origin's government, and mock refugee laws, but we ignore the entire legal framework for visas, residency, legal employment, and potential citizenship. We just kind of go, ah, those don't matter. Here's the rub. Democrats are effectively saying, laws do not matter. Just come and we'll hide you, we'll house you, we'll pay for your health care, shield you from federal law enforcement, permit your crimes to go unreported, and we're not going to deport you. Under such circumstances, exactly where is respect for the rule of law? How do we expect any Americans, native-born, legally immigrated, or even illegals, how do we expect them to be held responsible for any laws? Nowhere, as these Democrat candidates are effectively throwing out U.S. law. Second, think for a moment about what a nation is. Without borders, a simple plot of land and people, that gives no one claim to nationhood. There must be borders. As early Americans knew, immigration would eventually grow and require restrictions, and the restrictions would require enforcement to preserve our sovereignty. There are actually people in Washington, D.C. that really don't care if the United States and Mexico just tear down the borders and we become one entity. That's not what the law says. And once more, you don't like the law? Change it. We forget that our founders left Europe to escape an environment of elite lawlessness by the governments. Equality for all citizens and protection for all citizens was their objective. A nation of laws and equal justice under the law. It doesn't mean equal justice as we determine and that changes from person to person. It's equal justice under the law. That has always included immigration laws. As New York statesman Governor Morris argued at the Constitutional Convention, quote, every society from a great nation down to a club has the right of declaring the conditions on which new members should be admitted. Incidentally, Mr. Morris wrote the preamble to the Constitution, and he was signatory to the Articles of Confederation and the U.S. Constitution. His point? It's plain. Then and now. While our Constitution grants the power to Congress to establish a uniform rule of naturalization, restrictions on immigration are required for nationhood. As one constitutional scholar noted, quote, the people have delegated to Congress the power to fix the terms under which America will consent to an immigrant become a member of the American political community. Who, when, and how? This implies legal limits, and it guarantees no right of entry. American citizens elect leaders to make and enforce laws pursuant to the Constitution. Incidentally, every one of them pledges when they take their oath of office. In that oath of office, they pledge to uphold the Constitution and all laws duly passed under their watch. Think about that. Many of them are lying now that they made that oath and aren't committing and pushing through with their commitment to uphold the laws. These laws only matter, and civil society only truly exists if they are enforced. The federal government determines who will be admitted, when, and under what circumstances. Immigrants cannot, under any circumstances, legally impose themselves on our political community, particularly in the ignoring of express laws. And they want, the Democrats, in many cases, want Americans to think that immigrants can force us to ignore our laws and let them in. Yet, here come these promise-anything, give-away-the-nation candidates, indifferent to history, indifferent to law and logic, apparently untroubled by rising social, political, economic, and moral cost imposed by their de facto open borders policy, which they would love to be a real policy, an invitation to illegals to violate U.S. law. To a one, these Democratic candidates are complicit in advancing that lawlessness, and they're doing it knowingly or recklessly upending the rule of law. How can any of them seriously desire to taking an oath of office to be president of the United States, solemnly swearing to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States and federal laws while knowingly advocating lawlessness? They raise their hand and say one thing and they turn around and do something else. Who could and who would trust any of them to protect us? Now, anybody can debate motives. Whether the aim is to empower a growing mass of illegal aliens to vote for Democrats who buy votes with public money, or another hard-to-discern motive, but the bigger question is how any candidate can advocate lawlessness while seeking the presidency. It's mind-boggling that any of them would attempt to do that, but it's even more mind-boggling that there are millions of Americans that nod and consent. To put a point on this whole conversation, someone, and in 17 months or so, it will be the voters, need to hold these bold advocates of lawless immigration accountable. Laws, borders, sovereignty, and enforcement either matter or they do not. Most Americans believe they do, and that this is what civil society is all about. It is actually reasonable to believe that this lawlessness being promoted by those Democrat presidential candidates could, if implemented formally and continued, could lead to some type of internal war. Maybe it not with tanks and fighter jets, maybe with National Guard units and martial law. And if that should develop, who could rule out an Armageddon? We've had one civil war already. There are plenty of other strange legal, political, and economic theories being advocated. But if we can't agree laws matter, that rule of law counts, that enforcing federal immigration laws is central to our existence as a nation, who are we? I mean, if we take a pencil eraser and erase the borders on North and South, who the heck are we? There is no more United States. We would be part of North America, that big plot of land over there, north of South America. That's all we'd be. More precisely, who are these people who fight to lead if they do not believe in our laws, liberties, limits, and protecting lives of American citizens? Lead doing what? Lead in what way? We don't want to be citizens of the world. We're already citizens of the United States, the greatest country in the world. Simple questions often produce sobering answers. Will we see an Armageddon if a Democrat wins the White House? I have no idea. Nobody knows for sure. But one thing I'm certain of, Americans do not want a nation without laws. And anybody that wants all of this stuff has not grasped the understanding of what a nation without laws would look like and the reality that the United States of America is a nation of laws. And because of that nation under laws, we can provide equal justice to all. Let's pray we don't have an Armageddon. Let's pray we get some common sense in the White House and we get all of the tenets of the Constitution of the United States with everyone behind the enforcement of what our U.S. Constitution says. Hey, thanks for putting up with me today. A little emotional, but it's a big deal. And we've got to make it a big deal and keep it a big deal in our lives. God bless the United States of America. God bless you and your family. Have a great day. We'll see you next time we get together at Truth News Network, truthnewsnet.org. So long, everybody.
From Krakow to Grand Island, Milan to Hanoi, this is TNN, the Truth News Network.